What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to the kind of neat two-year anniversary episode extravaganza, otherwise just known as Kind of Neat. Thank you guys for tuning in for fucking 2 years straight, man. That's crazy. Our first episode, I think technically was like a week ago, 2 years ago. I think it was at the end of February. We did baths, which is strange because I see baths at the gym all the time now. We go to the same gym, and that's funny. And then on March 7th of 2013, we released our first video with Chuck English. We've been going strong ever since. We started out with zero subscribers on a YouTube channel, and now we have 30,000 YouTube subscribers. That's so crazy. Last year, I remember checking in with you guys and telling you that we had 10,000, and now we have 30,000. Amazing growth. We're so happy. Next year, fuck, we're shooting for the stars, man. Let's get 100,000 by next year and really take this thing to wherever the hell it is going. First things first, follow me at It's Intuition. Follow my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database. Database, thank you for fucking 2 years of hard work, man. I appreciate it. All of these episodes sound great. This man, he bends over backwards to get out free content to you guys and to make it sound good. So appreciative for all the work that Ben does. You can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/thatskindaneat, and subscribe, and you can watch all of the videos we've done to this point. Oh, did I tell you this, Ben? That now we have 54 videos up and we have 5.4 million plays. So if you do the math, do you know what that means? Our videos average 100,000 views. You guys that are turning into the YouTube channel have made it so that our YouTube videos average 100,000 views. So thank you, because that makes my emails sound that much tighter when I send emails to people and be like, oh yeah, if you come on the show, you know, our videos average 100,000 views. It sounds super legit. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, which you probably are because you're listening, and if you're listening on a computer, you're doing it wrong, download that podcast app onto your iPhone or Android and search for Kinda Neat and subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. This week, we have on Krayshawn for our two-year anniversary, which is pretty cool because she told me via email that she's never really done kind of like a retrospective about her career and never really talked about the things that went wrong when she got signed and et cetera, et cetera. And I think we kind of delve into that. She has such an interesting story. She's such a cool chick, has the wildest story. And if you've been following me for a while, we did do a podcast with her back in 2011 that has been somewhere lost in the deep bowels of the internet, I'm sure. But I had a different style of doing interviews back then, and I think this is a much more solid interview. And it was just a great conversation in general. Similar to the Mr. Motherfucking Esquire episode where we kind of talk about like how everyone was getting swooped up. Like labels were trying to swoop everybody up in 2010, 2011. She was one of the main catalysts of that. Like, people started getting swooped up because of internet buzz because Krayshawn got swooped up. She's like the quintessential like internet buzz artist that got swooped up by the label. And then, you know, things went awry and we talk about that. And I think it's a great conversation. And I think like the term Krayshawn has been able to be like a punchline for a little bit. And I think this really like does a good job of humanizing her again, because, you know, she's led a really interesting life and she's a human being. And like her situation was not something where it didn't go as planned. It's not like she planned to have what happened happen. So I think this is a good way to like just hear the story and get it explained from her perspective. And so hopefully you guys enjoy. Without any further ado, this is my conversation with Krayshawn. Even know girls poop, so that's like a big revelation for me.
Well,
what do they?
They do.
What have you been up to?
Actually, like too much.
Like what?
I'm directing like 4 music videos this
month.
That's
fantastic.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what else?
I have a radio show on Dash Radio.
How do people find that? We'll get some plugs in first before we
plug it up.
Yeah, plug it up.
It's kind of difficult to find.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, what do you do?
You have to like go on this app and then go on the channel. So it's like 100 channels and we're on one channel. So we're a show on a channel that's on a station. So you kind of really got to be smart to find it.
That sounds like radio inception or something.
Yeah, it is pretty hard.
So you can't just like Google search your radio show and listen to it?
No, we're working on archiving our stuff, but okay. With the SoundCloud, we can't play music. So we can't just upload a whole thing. Yeah. We have to put like 3-minute segments or just the interview with no like music in it because metadata and blah and money and
then people
understand.
Will sue.
Yeah.
And your co-host
Chippy
was Chippy.
She's still part of it.
But let's talk about what happened to Chippy. Former guest of Kinda Neat. The only video that I ever had to turn the comments off on because people were using the B word too much, and I hate to see
the B word.
I hate when people call women bitches on YouTube. I just can't stand it.
She's a bitch.
They're like, oh, what the fuck, this bitch. I'm like, fuck you guys. So anyways, I couldn't play White Knight and defend every comment, so I just was like, fuck this. I turned the comments off. Anyway. Yeah. Chippy was your co-host, and now she has been deported.
Yeah, she got deported.
What happened?
So she had a couple shows in Thailand and Japan, and she really wanted to go. And she was telling me, like we talked about it, and jokingly, she's like, oh, like I hope I can get back in, hee hee hee.
Yeah.
Like she didn't make a big deal about it, but I guess deep down inside, she knew that she was going to have a problem getting back in because she's been in America on expired visa for like God knows how long.
Really? Oh, so this is like her first time out of the country in quite a while?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
And she just went for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the reward like outweighed the risk at this point, but she's deported. She's banned for 5 years, so she can't visit. She can only come to America with a current visa.
Yeah. How long does the application process of that take?
Well, she doesn't even have a reason to be here.
Right.
So she either has to have a company like Google or something like hire her.
Wow.
And prove that she's the only person who can do this job and sponsor her visa.
That's so crazy.
Or get married.
I guess like EDM rap star is like not applicable for a visa.
No. Well, actually, if she gets popping enough in Vancouver, where she's deported to, that they'll grant her a visa. So if she gets like mad popping, and she, I mean, she's pretty much already there. She's just got to do the shows and stuff.
Right.
So hopefully she'll be back.
So then she can like prove that there's a desire to have her play shows in the States and then they'll let her back in.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. What a random story. So now what are you guys doing with the radio show then?
Well, basically, she's just going to take care of, like, the technical stuff and producing and, like, oh, here's some topics to talk about. This is who you should interview. She'll contact them. She'll book them, tell them when and where. She's also going to edit and just help creating content. And plus, she can still do voice. I mean, it's just a voice.
Just got to call in.
Yeah, it's not like a live show, you know? Yeah. So she can still call in or upload clips of her talking on SoundCloud.
So you guys will work it out because you're high-tech people.
Yeah. It'll translate. I miss her. I miss, like, sitting next to her and interviewing people. It's, like, sucks to do it alone.
Yeah, and it changes the whole chemistry of the show, I'm sure. But also, that's just, like, one of your good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a downer.
It is.
That is a bummer.
I was really sad.
I believe it. That's terrible.
Yeah.
I told you that this is kind of like a retrospective. It's almost like we just tell everybody's life story. So I just want to like dive into it. Like, let's talk about like where you're from. Where'd you grow up?
I was born in a little basket in San Francisco.
Floating down the river. No. Yeah, you're from the Bay, right? How long have you been in LA now?
It's almost like 5 years now.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. Time flies.
Yeah.
What was San Francisco like growing up?
I was born and raised in San Francisco for 10 years.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is the best city in the world. Like, I've been around the world, and I could pretty much say this with confidence. It is the best city in the world. And I lived everywhere from the Mission to the Fillmore to the Sunset, just everywhere, the Tenderloin. And then we ended up getting kicked out because of gentrification in 2000, the tech boom, you know.
Right. Like, San Francisco is one of the most expensive cities to live in now, right?
It's more expensive than Manhattan.
That's so crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah. So you guys got pushed out. Where did you go?
Then we went to Oakland.
To Oakland.
Yeah.
Growing up in San Francisco, what was the attitude and the environment? What was it like there at that time in the 90s?
Was it
the 90s or was it the 2000s?
No, it was the 90s.
Okay.
I moved to Oakland in 2000.
Yeah. Okay.
So I grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
It was really dope.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was the culture like? What did your mom do? What did your dad do?
When we moved out of the Mission, my mom was like a gangbanger. Like,
she
was like in her like fake chola phase. So that's kind of what I latched onto because I was like 9 and 8. And that's like really when you're more impressionable and you're getting kind of aware of like, these are people. This is what people are into. And
was the Mission like a grimy place in San Francisco?
Yeah, it really
was. I don't know the geography of San Francisco at all.
Yeah, Mission was like the Mexican hood, you know, and there was a lot of gang stuff going on. But red, you guys, red versus blue.
You guys are like Russian though, yeah?
Yeah.
Then how does your mom have a chola face?
I'll show you a picture of her and you'll be like, oh, okay. Because she's like got a darker complexion, black hair, green eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Same makeup, wings. Yeah, so yeah. She definitely, she was slaying the chola
look. She knew how to like fit the role.
Yeah, she fit it.
Did she grow up around a lot of Mexicans?
She grew up in L.A.
She grew up in L.A.
So she grew up around a lot of
Mexicans. What part of L.A. was she from, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Not anywhere like Compton. It was like...
We'll say Whittier. She's from Whittier.
Yeah.
No, I'm scared.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Okay, so how did mom end up in San Francisco?
Okay, this is like... It's so crazy. This is like a life story.
Yeah.
My mom ran away from home when she was 14, 13 to San Francisco because my grandpa... was like on crack or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he was on speed.
Yeah.
Which is cracked. Everything's cracked to me.
Yeah.
It's crack. He was a crackhead.
He was cracked out on that ice.
Yeah. So she ran away to San Francisco and just, she was punk
he,
rock.
Was he abusive? Was he like, or no. just like drug, just drugged out?
He just didn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Because her mom, my mom's mom died when she was two. So she was raised by a single father.
Yeah.
Which is like, who was raised by a single father?
It's my insane. Mom was.
Really?
Yeah. My mom was raised by a single father too.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It really changes like the way... I don't know, just the way you view motherhood.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get that example of, like, a mother.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It definitely had an effect on how my mom chose to raise us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So your mom's, like, a punk rock kid from L.A. and just runs away to San Francisco.
Yeah, she's, like, punk scuzz, you know?
Yeah.
Just, like, on the streets, like, I don't
so
know.
So she just, like, fucking hitchhiked to San Francisco
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. And have you seen pictures of her back then?
Yeah.
What is she, like, leather jacket, spikes and shit? Or what?
Yeah, like, leopard print with, like, plaid, and she had, like, blonde dreads and shit like that. So.
And did, I mean, I have a feeling the answer is no, but, like, did she have any plan when she went to San Francisco? Like, what was she going to do?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So what happens?
She gets pregnant with me.
At what age?
16. She had me when she was 17.
Wow, that's so young.
Yeah.
And did, like, what was the deal with
dad?
Yeah.
He was like, so my dad is like, at that time, he was like the super coolest, like hottest, sexiest skateboarder.
Nice.
So she like, she like hooked up with him and they were kind of like dating on and off type
thing.
He's like
a pro or what?
He wasn't pro, but he was like, I mean, it's like street skating, you know, so he was like a legend in street skating. He was like part of Jack's team. Which
and that
is,
must have been like right around the time that street skating was really coming into its own, you know, because like it was like Vert went out of style and then boom.
Yeah, it was like 86 or something, 87.
That's so tight. So they get pregnant and she decides to keep you, thank goodness. And and what do they do? Do they ever like... try to make it work?
No. There was no making it work, pretty much. She was too cool.
Yeah.
And she was too young.
Yeah.
And when you have a kid, it's like you can't focus on a relationship. You got to, like, focus on the kid. So
right.
They didn't make it work. And I've seen him – I've only seen him, like, a couple times. He's really erratic, like, alcoholic guy. So she didn't even really want him around me anyway. Yeah.
How did you go about, like, seeing him when the times that you have seen him? Like, you always kind of, like, knew who he was, or was it, like, you had to search for him type of thing?
It
you
was,
know what I mean?
I mean, sometimes, I mean, I remember there was this one time he was at the park, and my mom was like, that's your dad, like, go say hi.
Wow, just, like,
like randomly ran into him, you know? And then,
You were, what, like, 9, 10 or something?
Maybe, yeah.
Wow.
But the most recent time is a pretty funny story. I hadn't seen him in years, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm at this party at this, like, skate shop, and I'm, like, what, 15? So I'm drinking, smoking, like, having a good time with my friends, and I see this guy. And for some reason in my head, I'm like, that's my dad. I've never really seen pictures of him, but I had this feeling, so I went up to him because I was really drunk. And I was like, hey, like, are you my dad? And he was like, depends, who's your mom? And I'm like... Elka.
Yeah.
And Elka's like a crazy name.
Yeah.
He's like, Elka, which Elka? Elka who?
Oh,
and I'm like, ugh. So I just run away. I'm just like, ah.
Yeah.
I run away. And so I'm with my friends. He starts coming around me, putting his arm around me like, this is my daughter. And he's shit-faced.
Wow.
And it's a party full of teenagers. And he's there. I mean, he's a wreck.
So it's like kind of just burnout shit.
Way burnt out.
Yeah.
So it was just really freaking weird.
And that's the last time you saw him?
Yeah. And
10 years ago.
Everyone's like, that's your dad? I'm like, no, it's like my mom's friend. He's like my uncle.
So
he's like
my
friend
sperm
of a friend.
Donor.
Like,
yeah.
He's not my dad, you know.
But. Wow. So you've not had the desire to like reach out since?
I found him on Facebook, but meh.
Yeah. Is there any part of you kind of like missing that makes it hard? Here's the thing is I feel like everybody has fucking dad issues to some degree or extreme. I definitely have my own dad issues. And I notice like the way I deal with people, sometimes I go, oh, like this is because of your fucking dad issues that you're doing this. Do you ever catch yourself doing that?
I think I have way more issues from like way more worse traumatic things than like my dad. I mean, I probably would have had a way shittier life if my dad was a part of it.
Right.
Honestly.
It's almost like a blessing in disguise that kind of chaos wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's a silver lining, I suppose.
True.
Yeah. So your mom's 17 and has you. Like, how does she survive? What does she do?
Wow. Welfare, projects, housing.
Is this always just the two of you?
Yeah.
Did she have jobs, like waitressing or something? Like, what was she
doing? Yeah, she would work. Yeah. And, well, she was like, I don't know if you know, but she's like a punk rock legend, too.
Oh, I did not. I think, okay, so full transparency, we did one of these like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I know that I learned this stuff kind of, but we didn't go too deep into it. So I do remember, like, yes, your mom is a punk rock legend, but like, okay, let's tell the story of that because that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I didn't remember.
I mean, she'd always did music, but I don't really remember, like, when, like, her band, The Trash Woman, was, like, her main band that really took off.
Yeah.
I don't really remember, like, how old I was, but I was definitely born already when she formed the band.
Yeah.
And what am I talking about?
Just about your mom being a fucking legend, dude. What did she play?
Well, it was a surf punk band.
Yeah.
So it was like weird punk adaptations of like surf music.
Okay.
And she played lead guitar.
So they're doing like Dick Dale songs, but like fucking punk rock versions?
Like, like all that
That's
shit.
That's tight.
And it was so really cool.
She was lead guitar?
Yeah.
Did they sing as well? Was she
she did vocals. And she wrote all the songs.
Yeah. So was there touring with that? Were you guys touring?
Yeah, they toured.
And were you traveling with her?
No.
No, what would you do?
I would stay behind.
With who? Who became her support system since her mom was passed, her dad was down in L.A. doing God knows what. Like, what became the support system, your extended family?
Like, her roommates, because we had rent rooms, like roommates or her boyfriend at the time.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So she never got remarried, just had a boyfriend or what?
Yeah, no, she didn't. She didn't get married until I was like 14 or 15.
Yeah, but the boyfriends were always cool?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, were there any boyfriends that weren't, for the most part, fucking cool guys? And what were they about?
You know, like, there were always guys that I didn't like, but they were shitty to her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I never really had, like, the guy she got married to was, like, I didn't really like him.
Yeah.
We butted heads, and he was staying with us for, like, I don't know for how long. He moved in.
Yeah.
And I went on MySpace and I posted this bulletin like, my mom's new boyfriend's a faggot. And he just lays in bed smoking cigarettes in his boxers. And I was just like ripping him apart. And he friended me on a secret account. So he saw the post and it turned into this whole thing and they moved out. And my grandpa was up here. So I ended up staying with him because my grandpa, he moved up here at some point.
To San Francisco.
To help my mom, yeah.
So did he clean up his act then?
Yeah, he got sober when I was like 8 or 9.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you fucking got catfished by your mom's boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's so
crazy.
And
it turned to a whole thing and it was a mess.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So they move out. Where do they go?
She moved out and got an apartment with him.
And you were stuck with Grandpa.
Yeah, I stayed behind with Pop.
How old were you at that point, you said? 15?
15, 14.
So at 15, you're already like rebelling.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking rock on. Yeah. I was out there.
Yeah. Well, let's go even earlier than that. Like, what were you... When you start going to school, like, were you rebellious from, like, the time you get into school? Like, or were you a diligent student?
I was, like, class clown.
Yeah.
Like, that was my gig. I was, like, the weird girl, but, like, wasn't scared to, like, fight, but wasn't, like, starting fights. I was always cool.
Yeah.
I moved schools so much. I think in elementary school, I had to have gone to, like, 7 different elementary schools.
Right. So that makes you, as a coping mechanism, you learn how to be very personable.
Yeah. I would just be all like, what's up, new girl?
Yeah.
Holla. Like, I was always cool.
Right. Were you always kind of like wearing outlandish clothes to get attention, et cetera, et cetera? Like bright stuff, fashion trendsetter type
person? Yeah, I would steal my mom's clothes. Like she would have shirts that had been like 100% bitch. And I would just like wear that to school and
yeah.
like unzip it and be like, look, girls, look at my shirt. They're Swag. Like, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Your music tastes must have been like very forward thinking for your age too, because I'm sure your mom had to like be putting you on account, all kinds yeah. of crazy bands and shit, huh?
Yeah, I always like reference, this is like a good reference of like how insane my music taste was, yeah. but I was 9 years old and my mom is straight slapping Kool Keith Sex Style the CD. I yeah. actually got the CD for her birthday because she wow. had it on tape.
Yeah.
And I got her the CD wow. and I was nine.
Yeah.
So I'm 9 years old. I'm walking into like Amoeba and buying cool Sex Keith Style.
Thing. That's so funny.
And they're looking at me like, are you sure you want this? My mom's in the car. I'm like, yes. and now I listen to it and I'm like, yo.
Yeah. I should not
what?
Have been. Yeah. But at age like, nine, what? All of that stuff probably made zero sense.
I know. I remember listening to it and be like, put a lollipop in your ass. Like, whoa, that's kind of weird.
Can you taste it when it's in there? I don't yeah. understand.
Okay, cool. Lollipops. Yeah. I like lollipops.
That's so funny. When you're growing up in San Francisco, do you just have like a lot of freedoms that like maybe country kids don't have, being a city kid? Were you like all just taking the BART wherever the fuck you wanted and shit?
No, I didn't really... No.
No?
I was just like play out on the porch or yeah. play out in front of the house.
And when do you start roaming away from the porch in the backyard?
It was when I was like 11. I had moved to Oakland and it was like a very serious step program. It was like first, because when I moved to Oakland, I lived in this neighborhood. It was full of kids. There was like at least 12 kids my age yeah. on the same street. I lived in an alley. We would just play outside all day.
Yeah.
Like my childhood at that point was like amazing.
When you guys moved to Oakland, it was because of the gentrification?
Yeah.
Okay. So you go to Oakland and there's just tons of kids. And,
yeah.
And so now you feel like you're home now.
Now like, I feel like, yeah, I can go out. I can roam around in the city. Everything's like, you yeah. know, you don't just like walk down the street by yourself
right,
in
right.
San Francisco.
Right.
No.
So now you have all your buddies that yeah. are like the same age as you and you yeah. guys are fucking around in the alley and yeah. shit. And then, yeah, so did that finally feel like maybe the first time that everything kind yeah. of felt normal? And
yeah,
like
for sure.
Thought you were going to be there for a while?
Yeah, I lived in that house for at least like 6 years. And before that, I never lived in a place longer than like a couple years.
Yeah.
Or went to the same school all of middle school. And that was crazy because elementary school, I went to like 7 elementary schools. So
yeah.
I definitely got to like put my roots down in Oakland and in the
Well, and that's great because it's a formative time too. Like, you know, age 12, 13, 14, like those,
yeah.
those are the years that like really make you the human being that you are as an adult, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
You still keep in contact with kids from that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My best friend, like I grew up with her. She like, we lived together basically our whole childhood.
Yeah.
And we're still best friends. My neighbor, we're still friends.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's dope. So, okay. So by the time you're 15, you're talking about you're out at skate parties getting drunk and shit. When do you first start getting drunk? Like when do you first start being a wild little girl?
Like 7th grade.
Yeah. What happens?
I met this girl, Delilah, and she was like my main corrupter.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, let's get some weed. Let's smoke weed. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And my mom's boyfriend at the time was like a weed head.
Uh-huh.
And I would like steal his weed. I stole my mom's weed pipe.
That's so funny.
And I was like, what's up? Yeah.
Glass or metal?
It was glass.
Really? Yeah. We used to always smoke out of metal pipes, and I'm like, what were we thinking, Megan?
She knew it was me, too. She was pissed.
Yeah. Well, what was your first time getting high like? Did you get stoned?
Yeah, we got really, really stoned and, like, went to class, like, right after.
Yeah.
And I remember I had this, like, caramel chewy candy.
Yeah.
And I had it in my mouth and my teeth got stuck together.
Oh, shit.
And the teacher calls on me and I'm stoned and my mouth is stuck closed and I'm just dying laughing with my mouth like, and he was like, yo, get the fuck out of this class right now.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That's hilarious. But I remember the first time I smoked weed was like with my cousin in Southern California. I was on vacation and I don't think that I really, you know, they always say like your first time you don't get high.
Yeah.
I think I got high, but I didn't get like really high. And
yeah.
then after when I got back to Alaska from vacation, I'd gotten my driver's license a few months after that, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I smoked weed again with my friends and I was like,
I can't drive.
I was a late bloomer, 16, I'm smoking. But yeah,
yeah.
No, like I smoked weed and then I was like, oh, it'll be fine because I remember what it was like last time I was high.
Yeah.
And then I got really fucking high and I ended up driving back onto an Air Force base and you have to go through like a fucking security gate. And I just remember like freaking out, like, oh my God, dude, we're going to be fucked. We're so fucked.
And Alaska is not lenient about no weed.
Yeah, well, now they are. They legalized it. But back then they were not. But yeah, so anyways, I just dry snitched on myself. But that was – I got on base fine and it was perfect. But getting high, I used to love it. Used to love it. So what do you that was my reminiscing for the moment.
We're going to blaze it after this.
I don't smoke anymore.
No, we're going to blaze it.
Romo will smoke with you.
True, Romo does smoke
now. Romo's about that life. So Delilah is just making you a fucking juvenile delinquent?
Yeah, she did.
Does that become your road dog for a couple of years?
Yeah, yeah.
Was your first time drinking soon thereafter?
Yeah, with her.
Yeah? How was that?
You know, it's funny. We actually, my first time drinking was drinking those, like, chocolates with the alcohol in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For some reason, she had, like, a bag of, like, 30 of them.
Really?
And we just knocked them back.
That's so funny. And you guys have faded?
Yeah.
Ugh, I feel like getting drunk off a bunch of chocolates would just be stomach churning.
Yeah.
So then when do boys become a thing? Were you, like, boy crazy?
Yeah, I think... It's like literally Delilah was my corrupter. She opened up my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She opened me up to things that, who knows, if I would have sheltered myself from these things, then I probably would have like went too hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Later on.
Right. You get it out of the way early. What's Delilah up to nowadays?
Dude, I literally search for her.
Yeah.
I search. I ask my old friends. I go on the internet. I do it all the time.
I have good news for you. Delilah is a huge fan of the show. So Delilah.
And she's here right now.
How great would that be? This is your life, Grayson. Oh my God.
No, I lost contact with her. I went to Job Corps.
Yeah. What's Job Corps?
Job Corps is like a government program that you go when you're like homeless and have no money.
What? Wow. Yeah.
And it's like a program from like 15 to 25, I think.
Yeah.
And basically you live there for free, they feed you for free, and they give you job training for free. And when you graduate, you get money.
Yeah.
To start your life, get an apartment, whatever, a car, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I joined that program with her.
At what age?
16, I think.
Oh, wow. So quick.
Yeah, everything just went downhill pretty quick.
So you dropped out of high school?
Yeah. I dropped out sophomore year.
Well, so wait, before we get the Job Corps, so you're partying with Delilah and shit, and is it just like you guys start skipping school constantly?
Yeah, or? We started doing ecstasy.
Oh, okay. So you start doing ecstasy really quick, and what do you guys do? Like just ditch school and go walk around on ecstasy, or what were you guys doing? Yeah.
Walk around on ecstasy, go to raves at night.
Yeah.
And started selling ecstasy.
Wow.
I started selling fake rave tickets.
Okay, so you had your hustles.
Yeah.
And so mom had already moved out with her boyfriend at this point because it was post MySpace days.
Pop, you know, he was the next crackhead. He doesn't give a shit. Yeah. He doesn't care. I mean, he loves me and he cares and he's there and he was like there. But I love Pop.
Part of him probably.
Part of him is like, it's cool.
Yeah.
He knew I was on ecstasy, but it's like ecstasy. Yeah, you know, it's not like I'm on meth. So he wasn't like, he was just like, you need to stop that shit.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
He's like, take it from me, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. So were you becoming part of like the underground culture scene in San Francisco where you're like maybe unknowingly making connections with people because of your side hustles with raves and with the drugs and stuff like that? Were you running into people that later became influencers or something?
I don't know. I was just on drugs. I mean, I was like, I was in the ghetto. I was in the hood.
Yeah.
And when I first started doing ecstasy, nobody understood me. Like, everyone was like, what are you, Asian? Like, what are you, raver? And I was just like, I don't know. I'm just like fizzing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stunned. Like, and then everything went to shit. And Delilah ended up getting sent to Mexico because she got caught on ecstasy because she tried to like run away with her boyfriend and went missing. And her parents were like, fuck, you got to get the hell out of here. We're sending you to Mexico. She went to Mexico for like a couple months.
So Delilah was a Mexican girl? Is that what I'm to assume? Okay, cool. I didn't know. I was picturing a white girl. Delilah seems like the whitest Lily name ever.
Delilah. Delilah Sarabia. If you're out there, you're listening. Hit me up.
Holler at us.
Yeah.
Hit us on the 800 number. So she gets sent to Mexico. Are you heartbroken?
I was lost.
Yeah.
I really was lost. And somehow we worked out this agreement with her mom where her mom would let her come back up if she joined Job Corps.
Oh, okay.
And then I joined Job Corps and met her there.
So you guys joined Job Corps together?
Well, she got there before me and she made a boyfriend.
She made a boyfriend?
She,
out of clay?
She,
or
yeah,
what?
She made a boyfriend. I mean, it's like when your best friend gets a boyfriend, it's like a meme. It's like, oh, when your best friend gets a boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. Yeah, it doesn't work.
So you join Job Corps and then you're like kicking yourself for it because now Delilah's preoccupied with fucking
her boyfriend and everything went to shit. There's so many down, like everything just goes to shit at some
point.
Well,
life is a roller coaster, you know? You got to have the downs to have the ups. I just wrote a Hallmark card for us, but that's okay. Yeah, where's Job Corps? Where is it? Where did you go?
It's on Treasure Island, which is an island between San Francisco and Oakland.
Okay.
And it's an old army base, but now they use it for, like, Job Corps and, like, what's those things when you, like, are on drugs and then you, like,
don't... Scared straight?
No, like... What is it? Rehab. Rehab, yeah. Because they don't sell cigarettes or alcohol on the island.
Is there an economy on the island? Like, are there people, like normal people that aren't in Job Corps that
live
there?
Yeah, there's people who live there, yeah.
Okay.
It's a really weird place.
So you go to Job Corps and what, they put you in a dormitory or something?
Yeah.
And how is it?
It's like insane because everyone is basically court appointed to go there. Like a judge
is like... So it's like a bunch of degenerate kids and you chose to go.
I mean, I didn't have a choice. Okay. My grandpa moved to L.A.
Oh.
My mom was out the house. And this moment, I remember this moment all the time. It's like a movie. Like, my grandpa gets picked up to, like, drive to L.A. My mom came to say bye to Pop-Pop.
Yeah.
And then everyone drives away, and I'm on the porch of the old house.
What do I do?
And I'm sitting here, and I was like, nobody knows where I'm going. Nobody asked where I'm going.
Holy shit.
It was so like, and to me right now, it still makes zero sense.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, and I mean, did you have a key to like get back in the house?
No, it was just
that
like,
was it.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
It was so weird.
Yeah.
So then I stayed with V Nasty.
Okay.
Because we formed a friendship when I was like 15, 16.
Yeah.
So she was like, come stay with me.
Yeah. How did you meet her? You guys went to school together?
I dated her cousin.
Okay.
And her cousin went to jail.
Uh-huh.
And then she called me and said that I corrupted him because at the time I was selling ecstasy.
Yeah.
And he got in trouble with, what did he do?
Was he much older than you?
No, he was the same age.
Yeah.
And she called me up and was like, bitch, you fucking like got my cousin in trouble. Like you corrupted him. Like he was a nice boy before he met you, bitch. Like I'll fight you, bitch.
Oh,
and she's going crazy on me, right?
Yeah.
And he's half black. So I'm thinking like, there's this black girl. She's screaming at me. She wants to fight me. So I'm like, bitch, meet me here at my house. I will be here at this day. Like, come fight me, blah, blah, blah. I talk to my boyfriend. I'm like, why is this girl, Vanessa, your cousin? He's like, oh, don't mind her. She's pregnant. She's 8 months pregnant.
Oh, shit.
Talk about she gonna fight me. So I ended up meeting her, and she's like, I mean, she's so cool.
Yeah.
That when I seen her, I was like, what? You're so cool.
Like, yeah.
You're huge and pregnant, and you're like this white girl, and you like threatened to beat my ass.
Yeah.
And she's just wearing like a wife beater and like jeans with like a shoelace as her belt because she's just like massively pregnant.
Right.
It's really cool.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you were just like intoxicated with her and were like, I want to be your friend. I don't want to fight you.
Yeah.
How does she take that?
I mean, because that's how she is. She's a shit talker. You know, you could just have her call anyone to talk shit or fight someone. Like she's a muscle.
Yeah.
So when we met each other, like we both understood, oh, she's like, I was just saying that because that's my cousin.
Yeah.
You know, he was in jail and I'm just mad, you know? And I'm like, okay.
How long is it till you move in with her then?
I mean, maybe a couple months or something like that.
Well, where were you staying in the interim, like, of that time? Just couch surfing?
Well, I was staying at my aunt's house.
Okay.
And she is an old friend of my mom, so she's my aunt.
Okay, yeah.
And
every family has those.
Yeah, I was staying with her, and she had a son. And I was staying there and taking him to school, picking him up from school, like, babysitting him, nannying.
Yeah.
Then she ended up kicking me out because she found a condom. Which wasn't mine. Like, I still to this day, I'm like, I don't know, like, you must be, like, making stuff up or found one of your old condoms. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like, a used one?
I don't know.
Oh.
I wouldn't even know because I never had sex in that house.
Yeah, because, like, well, I'm the same way. Like, what the fuck is a condom? I don't know.
Oh,
wait,
God.
What? I'm just kidding.
That's not safe.
It is not safe. You are right. Yeah, so you're staying with your aunt.
She kicked you out. Then I go to V-Nasty's.
V-Nasty's.
Then from V-Nasty's, I go to Job Corps.
What was the thing where, like, you decided to go to Job Corps just because of Delilah? Or was it, like, a court-appointed thing or
no? We just – I mean, I didn't have anywhere to live, and I was staying with Vanessa, and, you know, like where she was in her life wasn't really where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
Because she had a kid and she was like, I don't know. She didn't really have a goal at that point. No one had a goal at that point. We were 16.
Your kids.
You know?
Oh, you guys are the same age though?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's the same age as me and my. I'm looking around the room and it's like everybody in the room is the same age as me. I have no perception of age.
I feel you. As Aaliyah would say, age is just a number.
True.
So is Job Corps like a place where they tell you to go get your act clean, but really you just learn how to be a better criminal?
Yeah.
Like juventile detention centers and shit? So you go there.
A lot of sex. Sex in the grass was the thing.
Sex in the grass.
That
so
was
did the,
like
the boys and the girls had different dormitories or what? But you guys would just sneak out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell us some fucking Job Corps stories.
Job Corps
interested.
Stories.
I'm just interested in what it is even.
Well, it's like, yeah, Treasure Island, it's like between.
Right.
It's an island.
Yeah.
And they have these beaches.
Yeah.
And we would all go to the beach on our downtime after school and before bed. You had like 6 hours to do whatever.
Uh-huh.
Some people would take the bus to San Francisco, and some people would just hang out on the island.
Yeah.
And we would go down to the beaches and get, like, a bottle of E&J from the city and just get wasted on the beach. And, like, when I tell you, it was like, I'm going to cry. Like, you're right underneath the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
It's, like, right here.
Uh-huh.
And the fucking sun is setting, and you're on this, like, fucking beach that nobody ever steps on. It's like no one goes to Treasure Island.
Uh-huh.
And you're just like wasted and you're 16. And you're with like this, the hottest guy in Job Corps. And like,
he's 16. He's already got face tats
and shit. Oh, it's like so awesome, man. Like, Job Corps really was a good choice for my life. Cause I did. I graduated my program and I got my GED and they gave me $1,000 and I got
what
my
was
first
your like, what were you training to do? Like, if they're teaching you to do a job,
facility like, maintenance was my trade.
What does that mean? Like plumbing toilets?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Plumbing toilets, fixing windows, I don't know, taping holes.
So
up,
they trained you to like be a custodian kind of. Really?
Well, so this is the funny thing about Job Corps.
Yeah.
Each trade is like a gang because everything turns into like a real gang.
Yeah.
And the biggest gang you can join is facility maintenance or cement masing.
Oh.
Those are the two biggest trades because
and the
those
cement
are the
masons are obviously like the Illuminati because like they're masons and shit.
Yeah. No.
Okay. No.
No, but they were CMB, cement masing boys. So, they were like CMB. They would have rumbles.
Wow.
Like, they would literally
like
beef with it because you're wearing colors.
Yeah.
You're wearing your uniforms, you know? So Delilah's boyfriend was, like, the biggest – he sold weed on the island. One of the only people who sold weed on the island. And so he was, like, the coolest guy. He was, like, join, you know, facility maintenance, be in my gang. And I got you. And I was like,
That's so crazy. What were there? Were there like other smaller gangs? Was it like, oh man, if you're going into hotel management, your gang is really pussies.
Well, nursing, there was nursing.
All and Filipinos.
All bitches. Just all females. And they were hard.
Yeah.
They were hard too.
Damn, that's crazy. That's so interesting that like your career became a gang.
Yeah. Jail culture definitely like adapted to that Job Corps program.
That's interesting. So you graduate your Job Corps and how old are you at this point? 17?
17, yeah.
17 and they say, okay, you're fucking free. Here's $1,000. Go be a facility manager.
Yep.
And what do you do?
I got my first apartment.
On your own at 17?
17.
With the
$1,000? With $1,000. I moved into a little, like the worst place. It was like this. It literally
had
the.
Oh, you're trying to say this room is small? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, the studio room is tiny. It's tiny.
I mean, it's a studio. It's not a house.
Yeah, for sure. We're in probably like about a 9x9 room.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was about this size.
Yeah.
And how much were you paying a month? Do you remember?
I think it was like $750 or
something. In Oakland? Or
yeah.
That's expensive for a room this size,
I feel.
Well,
I had a bathroom and a kitchen.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. And you're 17 and do you get a job?
Yeah, I started working at IKEA.
Being the facilities manager?
No, I was in living room sales. Couches.
Yeah, at IKEA.
Entertainment centers.
Were you already getting tattooed at this point?
Yeah. I got my first tattoo when I was 15.
What was your first one?
It was the ice cream cone on my neck.
Oh,
right here,
Wow, you just went straight for the neck. You're like, fuck it. I don't ever want to really have a real job.
I thought that was going to be the easiest one to hide because I just put my hair like this.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was like, oh, my first tattoo is going to be actually a full skull piece because I used to have on my head because I just had so much hair. And I was like,
wait, what?
Thank God I didn't do that.
Do you shave your head?
Yeah, because I went bald. But I mean, I used to have beautiful hair. And so I was like, oh, if I get a tattoo on my head, it'll just always be able to cover it. Thank God I didn't make that decision.
Have you ever waxed your head?
No. No.
I don't know
one
if
time,
that's a thing.
One time a girlfriend waxed my back, and we used really cheap wax from, like, Target or something, and my back broke. I never get back knee. My back broke out fucking bad that I, like, almost went to the doctor. It was terrible. I was
did
like,
did she do the whole back, or it was just, like, one strip, and she was like,
no.
Oh,
well,
no.
She did the whole back. I mean, I guess you're supposed to, like, well, not my whole back. My whole back doesn't grow hair. I have, like, two, like, mutton chops on my back.
I have to see this.
I'll show you. I don't give a fuck.
I have to see it.
Not right now, but I'll show you.
I'm really interested in back hair because I've never dated a guy who had, like, back hair.
Oh, I'm fucking, it's heads and toe. I'm hairy as shit.
I'm
just Italian, you know,
hair.
It is what it is. Anyway, we'll get off my back waxing. So you're at IKEA. You're at IKEA, and, like, what are your goals at this point? Just, like, I want to live month to month, or, like...
Dude, IKEA was a fucking dope job.
I
love IKEA.
Yeah.
It's my happy place. I love going there.
Did you get the ill discounts? So, like, your studio apartment actually looked like a mansion from the inside because you had all this smart furniture?
Yeah. I knew, like, all the little cheats to make a little place bigger.
Yeah. Did you have a bunk bed? You're like, I would have put my bed in a loft.
I put my bed in the closet and put curtains.
Yeah. So it's like a Murphy bed?
Yeah. And then I got a roommate, too. Mm. So we were sharing this.
In one room?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is really cool.
She was 17 as well, or what?
I think she might have been a couple years older.
Yeah. At this point, are you starting to, like, tap into your creative side?
Yeah. Crazy story. I met this guy named Amalio in the Fillmore just walking around, me and my friend Avion.
Yeah.
And we meet him, and then we just
start
hanging out.
All of your friends sound like backup dancers. Like, they all have names like they were in B2K at one point.
Yeah,
but go
pretty
ahead.
Much.
Proceed.
So I meet him, and he's immensely creative. I mean, he's always painting. Mm-hmm. And he would come to my house, and we would just get really stoned and just paint. And mm-hmm. he worked at a wood workshop. Mm-hmm. So he'd come through with these big-ass pieces of wood, and we would just paint them all day. We would burn them and mm-hmm. do all kinds of art. And then I saved enough money to get a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my first MacBook. And that's when everything
changed.
Were
you, like, really out here on the internet from jump?
Yeah. MySpace. I was popping on MySpace.
Were you popping on MySpace? What were you doing on MySpace?
Just being cute. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. There was, like, this big MySpace culture of just, like, being cute and putting, like, little shiny stars all over your pictures and shit.
Was
that you?
Me.
So you had, like, gazillions of MySpace friends?
Yeah. I'd post my poetry. That was my thing. I would write these poetry MySpace bulletins.
Yeah.
And
did you have, like, the scenester haircut back then and shit where it was,
no,
like,
I was
all
Chola.
Chola.
Yeah.
Okay.
My MySpace name was Payasita.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many friends did you have? Do you remember?
Dude, I don't remember, but, like, my boyfriend at the time, he, like, got really jealous and deleted them all and, like, changed my name to, like, I Suck Dick or something. It was trash.
Wow.
Yeah. So I had to put the MySpace celebrity behind.
Yeah.
And let that go.
That's funny. So you get your first MacBook, and what do you start doing with it?
Learning how to make beats and rapping. And
what did you download? Like, what programs?
GarageBand.
Oh, you're just using GarageBand.
Yeah.
And so what were your steps in learning to make beats? Were you making sample-based beats or just, like, presets that were in there?
Well, it's crazy because me and my friend Avion – so my mom had a boyfriend when I was, like – 10 to 13 or 12. He was a DJ, producer, rapper. He had all the equipment.
Actually Too Short.
Yeah.
Was it Too Short?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. He had techniques. He had mics, boards. And me and Avion would stay up all night making beats on Acid, the program Acid.
Yeah. That was the first thing I ever recorded to was Acid.
Yeah.
There was actually Romo saying him too, Acid. I used to actually, like, go on the Acid Pro boards. Like, they had forums, and I would, like, post my music on the Acid Pro boards back in the, you know, early 2000s.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
So we you might have, like,
maybe
listened.
Maybe we beefed.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear a fucking very rare story that I'm to this day I always wonder? There was actually a guy on the Acid Pro forums that I, like, battled a couple times.
Like rap battle?
Yeah, like rap battle. But his name was David Banner, and I've always wondered.
He went by
Dr. David Banner.
It's definitely David Banner.
And I was always like, was it David Banner? Because it
just
sucked.
Tweet him and ask him.
Back then, it really fucking sucked. But, like, he's so tight now that I'm like, I don't know if it could be the same guy.
It probably is.
But anyway, how weird is that?
It probably was him.
Maybe. Maybe I should tweet at him. I'm going to hit him up. David Banner, if you're hollering, hit us on the 800 line.
He's definitely not listening to my show right now.
Anyhow, so you started making beats on Acid? Acid Pro, the program.
Yeah.
And like sampling and looping and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get good at it?
I think so.
With Avion?
Yeah.
So you started rapping?
Yeah.
What were your raps like?
Well, I even have, I mean, I have some raps from when I was like 10 years old online.
Oh, yeah.
Me dissing Little Bow Wow.
Wait. I have a memory coming back now from our first podcast where, like, weren't you on one of your mom's, like, the B-sides of one of your mom's records?
Yeah.
Like, rapping or something? Or what were you doing? Singing?
Singing, yeah.
That's so tight.
When I was like 4 or some shit.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So you have raps from when you were 10 years old dissing Little Bow Wow.
Yeah.
That's mean. Why are you dissing Bow Wow?
I mean, I'm like, no. I mean, whatever. I'm fucking 10.
Yeah, you're
a little
kid.
I'm like just
kid.
Rhyming. I'm like, yeah. He's not a boss. He's a loss. He shops at Ross. He can't toss a dog.
Damn,
like,
that was
so, like,
fucking bars, dude.
Some Dr. Seuss bars right there.
That was hella
pop
bars.
On top.
In January, I was coming back from a flight from somewhere, and I don't know if I told this story in the podcast already, but as we're landing, there's, like, in the baggage area, all this fucking paparazzi shooting somebody, and it was some fucking gorgeous girl that has an MTV show, but I can't remember, like, what her name was. Victoria something? Anyway, she walks by, hella paparazzi follow her out, yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, man, all right, well, I'll see you guys. So, because I was with a couple other people and my car was upstairs, and I was like, all right, I gotta get going. So I head up to my car, and as I'm walking on the third floor of the parking structure, I see these, like, two people from a distance, and one is this very tall, light-skinned black girl, just gorgeous. I'm looking, like, who is this, like, supermodel that's about to walk by me, you know? And then she's with a shorter person who I thought from a distance it looked like maybe it was a lesbian with braids or something, you know?
Yeah.
And then as they walk by, it's actually Bow Wow and, like, a really pretty girl.
Oh,
there's no
wow.
paparazzi following him at all. And I was like, oh, poor Bow Wow.
You should have tipped him off.
Yeah. I was like, yo, downstairs, dog.
You should have been like, Bow Wow. Oh, my God.
I was like, yo, Thad. I think he goes by Thad now. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
None of this was a diss, like the 10-year-old Krayshawn dissed you. Okay,
no.
So.
I definitely was in love with him.
Were you?
Yes.
And so that's like you throwing rocks trying to flirt at him. Like,
yeah.
Hopefully he'll hear my
it's
diss
like,
track.
Yeah, it's like the way a 10-year-old flirts. It's like
right.
pinching the guy in front
right,
of me. And
right.
kind of like.
Right. So you're making your raps on acid. And at this point, is this when you started like learning to film videos or what?
I don't know. I had like a VHS camera and I was just like fucking around.
Yeah.
So yeah, I met that guy, Emalio.
We're
painting. We're making crazy music all day, all night, just like constantly. And I ended up quitting IKEA and just like selling drugs.
Yeah.
What? And being a pimp.
Molly or what?
Ecstasy.
Yeah.
That's like my thing was selling ecstasy. I was very reliable.
Being a pimp, how? Like you're like slanging a Malian's dick or what? Like, hey girl, come over.
No. So like.
You had a chick?
Oh wait. Also, you know, Gita Speak Daily.
No.
She's a female rapper
okay.
too.
Yeah.
She's his twin sister.
Oh,
which
okay.
I like, it was like really late. Reference.
Okay.
So, wait, what? Oh, I was my pimping date.
Yeah. Who are you pimping? How are you pimping someone?
So.
You're so small. I don't feel like you'd be a good enforcer.
So, somehow at 18, I just lose it pretty much. And I like start stripping.
Really?
For like a week.
Oh,
I do 2 days. And, well, because it's not. I don't even think it counts as stripping if you did it twice.
Yeah. That's like a wild weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So I tried it and it was trash. I hated it.
Yeah.
And so then I meet these girls and they're like, oh, we want to make money. Man. You know, it's like.
The stripper girls said this.
Well, they were just some friends of mine.
Yeah.
And they were ready.
Yeah.
They knew what they wanted to do. And this was like a time when like money and rap and all that stuff was like really a thing. Hitting girls over the head like, you got to make money.
Yeah.
You got to be a hoe, you know?
Wow, yeah.
So it was very like.
You better get naked in this video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that moment, like everything in rap was shaping all these girls.
Yeah.
And it was changing from like models in the video and looking high class to like, let's get the hoes in here.
Right.
So.
Like BET Uncut type shit.
Yeah. Everyone wanted to be a hoe and these girls wanted to do it. And I was like, well, like I'll post your ads for you if you want. We'll do it out of my shitty little apartment that
yeah.
I have. And I think we did it like for a week or two. And then they're like, oh, we met some guys. Can they come over and drink? And I'm like, yeah, like we've been good. Like rewards. Like
yeah.
come through. We'll have a party.
Yeah.
They are the craziest gorilla pimps I've ever seen. They come into the house like they knew what was going on. They take me outside like, look, we know what the fuck is going on. You can't handle this shit.
Whoa.
And they take them to Miami.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I was I was really freaked out by the whole thing because they were scary and they knew where I lived and they were like freaking cussing me out. So I moved to LA for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I was staying with my great grandpa and my grandpa. And
wow.
That was like an end of a chapter right there.
That's the craziest end of a chapter. That's like a cliffhanger ending with the gorilla pimps shipping your fucking
friends
your,
to Miami.
Your brothel girls off to Miami.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So your stripping lasted for 2 days and your pimping lasted for a week?
Yeah. Then I was like, I'm going down a horrible path with my life, you know? I was so happy. I was creating music, painting. I had a job, my apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo.
What do you do in LA when you get here?
I ended up getting a job at this store called Japan LA on Melrose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know where that's at.
Yeah. And so I set some roots down on Melrose, and I was working there for a long time. And
how long is a long time in your world at this point?
Long time is like 6 months.
Okay. And so is this where you kind of start meeting like the cool LA kids?
Yeah.
Because at that time, Melrose was like what Fairfax is now.
Yeah, Melrose is really cool.
Fairfax wasn't cracking yet.
No.
Melrose was the shit at that point. And now Melrose is – this is all very like regional LA shit, but now Melrose is kind of dead-ish and Fairfax is super cracking.
Yep.
So you start meeting all the cool people in L.A.?
Yeah.
And you're like, what, 18, 19?
I'm 19.
When do you start filming videos and stuff? Because isn't that how, like, the rise to, like, your rapping really
that's
started?
That's when everything just, like, went super fast. Yeah. So I started filming videos. I came back to the Bay from L.A.
Yeah. What was the catalyst for that choice? We got time. Tell it.
Yo, this story is so crazy. I just told this story to a couple of my friends the other day, and they were like, what?
Yeah.
So the catalyst for this, I'm happy. I'm in LA. I'm working. Yeah. I'm riding my bikes and, you know, hanging out with the Fixie guys.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
you know, I had a cool bike and everything was cool. And
I wonder if I ever met you.
You know, you might
have
because I knew Peekaboo for a long time back
then.
Wait,
who's Peekaboo?
Damon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I never met Damon back then, though.
Oh, okay.
Not when he was riding bikes, I don't think. But I did know Damon, but not through the bike scene.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he was – I just remember he was in the – because I was in the art Kid Robot vinyl toy scene.
Right, and
too.
I never really crossed into the vinyl toy scene that much. I moved to L.A. in like 07.
So
I might have just missed you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, I'm LA OG now.
Oh, my bad. I was up in Santa Barbara, you feel me? Okay, so what's the catalyst?
Oh, the crazy story.
Yeah, the story
that
you're going to tell. Yeah.
So
you're riding your bike and you're happy.
Yeah, I'm walking up La Brea one day and this red car comes up to me. And you know how it is in L.A. It's like, oh, you want to ride, babe?
Yeah.
So this guy, like, pulls over, like, oh, Melissa, aren't you Melissa? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And he's like, Melissa. I'm like, no, I'm not Melissa. He's like, no, you were in a modeling thing. I was like, no, that wasn't me. He's like, well, you look like you should be in this campaign, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, and I get in the car.
He's like, oh, you said, oh, campaign? Let me hear this out.
So I get in the car, and he's like, let me take some pictures of you. So we're, like, pulling over, taking pictures here, taking pictures there, and then he's like, oh, yeah, like, I got a Bluetooth camera. Like, I'm sending these pictures to, like, my assistant. And at that time, that technology wasn't there. And I knew that because I'm a technology queen. So I'm like, dude, this is fishy. He's on the phone like, oh, yeah, she looks great, huh? Yeah. And he's like, all right, they want you to be the new model for Honda. They're ready to pay you $1 million tonight and give you a car. And I'm like, like, get me the fuck out of here.
He said, it's all going to come from my cousin who's a Nigerian prince.
Yeah, like, no, it was such bullshit. And I'm like, yo, this is going downhill. So I have a knife in my pocket and I pull it out, like,
whoa.
Take me home, get me, like, drop me off. We're on the freyway.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, let me out the car. He's like, oh, like, you don't, you know, he's like playing me. He's like, you don't want to miss this opportunity. Like, you don't be dumb. And he's just crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, I flash the knife. I'm like, drop, get me the fuck out of here, blah, blah, blah. So,
why do you have a knife instead of mace?
I don't know. I mean, macing him while he's driving on the freeway wouldn't have been that great.
I mean, stabbing wouldn't have been great either. But also, like, knives are such a dangerous weapon to have because
he kind of freaked out. And he let me out the car.
Yeah.
And then maybe, like, a couple days later, I'm watching the news and they're like, man in red truck poses as photographer, rapes and sodomizes 3 16-year-old girls. And I'm like,
holy shit.
And I look at the picture and I'm like, that's him. I was in that car. I was with him.
Whoa.
Like, that was me.
Whoa.
And I was so freaked out that I, like, left L.A. the next day. I was so freaked out. Told my boss the whole story. She was like, I don't know. You get the fuck out of here. Like,
that's so crazy.
It was really horrible.
Holy shit. So you just, like, what, catch the bus the next day or something? And what was the plan?
I don't know. What happened when I came back? I mean, I was probably still selling drugs. Yeah. I remember.
Did you ever run into the gorilla pimps again, or they just left you alone?
No, I never ran into them.
Thank goodness.
I never saw them. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
I mean, it's crazy because, like, I've run into all these people and met all these people in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And then this whole, like, Krayshawn thing happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know these people that hate me or I have beef with or just, like, are seen me.
Yeah.
As Krayshawn.
Right.
But it's just weird because I don't want to see them ever.
Right, right,
I'm terrified of running. There's a lot of people that I'm just terrified of running into that.
Right.
Like, I know they will kill me.
Yeah. That's a scary thought.
Yes.
Being in the being in the public eye like that way, it's got to be like fucking terrifying to think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, maybe in this crowd that I have been announced,
yeah,
you know,
somebody
there's
that one pimp who,
yeah,
wants to like,
right,
kill me,
right, right,
in the crowd.
Let's get into the music shit because,
yeah,
we've already been going like almost an hour. The time flies, and these are all amazing.
That's insane.
We like to talk. We're good at it. Okay, so I want to tell you the first way I found out about you. I saw the video where you're on the rooftop and you're like, looking so elegant, riding on an elephant.
Best song ever.
I actually thought, I was like, I don't like this song. That's me being honest
best
with you. I was
song
like,
ever.
I don't like this song, but I was like, the elegant elephant line was actually pretty tight. I was like, that's smart. That was clever. So I saw that video and I think it might be because maybe Speak showed me it.
Yeah.
And was like, yo, this girl has got it. And at this point, Speak had in my – I've known Speak since he was 17. Like, so I was,
oh, wow.
I met him a long time ago because I'm a few years older than him. So I knew him – I was like maybe 21 and he was 17. To that point, he was the first person who told me about Lil B. And I was, mm-hmm, like, I don't get it. But then it blew up.
Yeah.
And he told me about Wiz Khalifa and I was like, this is tight. And then it blew up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then – and so he was telling me, yo, I found this girl. Her name's Krayshawn. And like, she's a genius and she's got it.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to – and like, something's going to happen with it. And I was like, I see it. And she's cute. I don't really get it, but I kind of believe you.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I knew, you were blowing up. So, like, take me through that. How did you guys meet? Like, what happens?
Speaks, he contacted me through the internet, and he wanted me to direct a music video for him.
Yeah.
So I came down to L.A., and we shot a music video, and I was hanging out with his friends and his whole scene and his friends. So he hit me up like, I want to write music with you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, I rap, and Bumpin' was kind of like, it was rap, but it wasn't like bars,
right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? And at that point,
it was just kind of this cute, kitschy rap.
Yeah.
Kind
at
of,
that
you
point
know?
I was just freestyling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I was always wrote poetry. So I would just
that
use
was the
my
other thing
poetry
he told me.
As
like,
rap.
He was like, she has like dozens of tapes where it's just her freestyling for like forever. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea how to construct a song.
Right.
So he was like, I'm going to teach you how.
Yeah.
And we made a song together called Art Goon. And that was like the first time we like sat down and did music. Other than that, like I would film for him.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yo, I was up in the Bay. He was like, I want to send you this song.
Yeah.
So he sends me Gucci Gucci and I'm like, this is tight.
Yeah.
I'll rap this. This is
yeah.
dope. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So I do the song and then.
Where'd you guys find the beat? Did he have that?
I
or
had the
it?
Beat.
Yeah.
I had the beat because basically V Nasty started rapping.
Yeah.
And I was just rapping for fun, but I was really putting all my time into engineering her stuff. I would call her to come over and be like, you need a rap. I was online, like, Be Nasty's number one rapper.
Yeah.
You know, like, send her beats. And then DJ Two Stacks,
yeah.
who made the Gucci Gucci beat, he had been sending us beats.
Yeah.
And I only went
Where
to
Where was
him,
he based out of at the time?
Staten Island.
Oh, so he's in New York.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just had an internet thing.
Yeah.
I was just like, to me, he was just like some guy on the internet. He's just sending us beats, and
yeah.
he had the fire beats. So
yeah.
I only went to him at one point. So I got that beat, and I sent him the beat, and then he wrote to the beat.
Sent Speak the beat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then
yeah, that beat, I mean, it was like magical as well. It was
yeah.
like a great beat.
Yeah.
Did it already have the vocal sample in it?
Yeah.
But was that you on the vocal sample?
Yeah. It was a sample from Bumpin' Bumpin'.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
The One Big Room.
Right. Full of Bad Bitches. Okay.
So we mix up the song and record it. And then, I don't know, then everything just kind of went crazy. I mean, we shot the music video in L.A.
How fast is it? When you send him the beat, what, he sends it back in a week, a day?
I don't remember.
Like, pretty quick,
really
though?
Remember, yeah.
And you record it, like, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, I got to record this?
Well, yeah, because I met my manager, Stretch, because I was filming music videos for one of his artists.
Yeah.
And then somehow I told Chris, oh, yeah, I like make music too. And then I showed him Bumpin' Bumpin' and some of my mixtape stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'll get you some studio time.
Yeah.
So that's when we record Gucci Gucci and all the other songs.
And when he heard that, was he already like just, oh, we got
one? Well, yeah, because I go into the studio with Gucci Gucci and he's like,
what the fuck?
This is dope. Yeah. Like, we got the dream team right here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We got Speaks with me, Two Stacks with me, and we're all dialed in. Yeah. At this moment, we're dialed in. We're all working together.
Was Speak at the studio with you too?
Not when we recorded. No, but
okay, so you recorded just off of like a demo tape or something of his, yeah, right? Okay, yeah.
Well, no, he just sent me like the words and then we switched things around to make it more like my life.
Right.
But
it
was pretty on point with my life because at that point we were hanging out.
Yeah.
We've been in the studio together. He knows how I am, what I usually rap about.
Right,
so.
Right. So you guys record that and Stretch is like, okay, shit, let's get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And then
I mean, because at that point Stretch hadn't really managed anybody to the capacity that I was at.
Yeah.
So everything was new for everybody.
But also he's like an OG in the game, right?
Yeah, he managed Mac Dre, yeah. Mr. Fab. You know,
like he's a big dude in the Bay. Well, literally he's a big dude too.
He is like the guy.
He's
the
man.
Bay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If he touches you, like you are guaranteed some kind of success because he knows what is going to work, you know?
So you guys record Gucci Gucci and it's like, boom, we got to make a fucking video for this or what?
After we recorded it, it was like, yeah, we got to make a video. We make a video. I didn't like the edits. So the video kind of sat for a couple months and then it was like arguing over the video. And then we're like, all right, fuck it. Let's just release it.
Yeah.
And
you hadn't put the audio out anywhere before. You just released it straight to video, right?
I think so.
And it just went
probably. I mean, that's probably why it went like insane.
It went kaboom.
It was like
a
double whammy. Like, yeah. Who, huh? What?
Yeah, yeah. No, totally.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it just because, like, I hadn't talked to Speak in a few weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was at home in Alaska visiting family on, like, a shitty laptop with really shitty internet.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing, like, you know, check out Krayshawn's video, Gucci Gucci, it's going viral, blah, blah, blah. And I, like, watch and I go, oh, my God, this is the girl that Speak told me about.
Yeah.
And I was, like, and I was doing the Knox City shit at the time. I was, like, I have to get home and, like, get this girl on the show immediately. And that's what we did. And so when it starts going crazy, what happens?
Everything changed. I mean, I went from having, like, nothing.
Yeah.
And I had just moved to L.A., and I was probably – I moved to L.A. to do videos. I was like, I'm going to sneak my way into any type of set and be a grip or whatever, just anything. Fucking get the coffee, get the bagels. That's what I moved to L.A. for.
Yeah.
So when the music thing was secondary to me, I wasn't focused on it. I just dropped out of film school to focus on film.
Right.
And then so it was just wild that everything just shifted direction for me.
Yeah.
And quickly. I mean, it was like we dropped the song and within the next day I was already going to labels.
Yeah, it was like a household name overnight. It really was like an overnight fucking crazy thing.
Well, because even at that time, like viral music videos.
So new.
Were so new. Odd Future was like the first viral music video I saw. And I remember watching the numbers go up and being like, I have no idea who they are. And I'm just watching them get numbers.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's crazy.
Well, and I always say like, dude, the year 2000, from 2010 to 2011, it was such a pivotal year in the digital music industry kind of, that was the time when like all of a sudden videos became the most important thing. Like a song didn't exist if it didn't have a video at that point. You know what I mean? If you were just releasing audio, you were an idiot basically.
Yeah.
But then also it was like the first time where the labels felt like, we don't understand this. We don't have a grasp on this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the popular music is like not in our hands. What do we do? So they start scooping everybody up instantly.
Yep.
And so the labels must have instantly wanted to scoop you up.
Yep.
Yeah. What were your first label meetings like?
It was hard because how Gucci Gucci was made was very different from how I usually make things.
Uh-huh.
Usually I make my own beat and I freestyle for 12 hours and I cut the best parts out and that's how I was doing it.
Right.
Or I was only engineering for V-Nasty.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was very confusing for them because they were like, we want to make you super pop and whatever.
And Nicki Minaj was really big at the time and they're probably looking for competition with like female rappers.
I mean, it was so that female rap like
was
lane
wide open.
Was so random.
Yeah.
You know, that's like not only was like she's a female rapper and she's white and she's tiny and she's hood and she's from Oakland but she's on Fairfax. She's smoking weed. It's like it was way too much for them to handle.
Right.
And they tried to break me down into something simpler.
Yeah.
And then it didn't work.
Who did you sign with?
Columbia.
With Columbia.
Yeah.
What other acts did they have on the roster at the time? Do you remember?
I don't know. I remember, like, coming up with, like, T-Mills.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I don't know if Big Sean was on Columbia, but I was always around Big Sean.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd always be, like, in the same place.
Okay, well. And so when you signed with Columbia, and that's the other thing that happened around the 2010s, is, like, everybody was talking about advances. Like, that was, like, public information. So I just remember being, like, everything on Twitter was like, Krayshawn signs $1 million deal. They sign her for $1 million.
Yeah.
What was that? What's it like seeing your fucking business out in the streets like that?
Well, it was crazy because, I mean, you don't get $1 million.
Yeah, obviously.
The money literally only goes to fund your
project. Yeah.
And then you do get a chunk. I mean, I went from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
First thing I did with my money was like, I bought a Game Boy.
Okay, that seems like...
And I had no idea what I was doing.
Not balling enough to me. I was hoping you would be like, the first thing I did with my money was like, I bought a car.
No.
Bought a Game Boy.
I literally didn't buy a car until like last year.
Right.
But it was just crazy. And then...
Did the labels know like who had written the song?
Yeah, they knew.
And what did they say? Knew. Were they like, let's get him in the studio?
Yeah.
So then what happens?
Like, my first session with the money and my first studio session in like the Hollywood studio in Santa Monica. I'm not joking you. There, it was me, Speaks, and Two Sacks, and about 30.
So they move Mike out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there had to be, like, 30 grown men in that place.
Shut up.
And I'm the only girl, and I get really uncomfortable in studios because it'll be, like, 10 guys and just me.
Yeah, even right now there's 5 dudes
in. And it makes me uncomfortable at some point.
Well, I'm sorry that
especially
would make you
uncomfortable. Especially when, like, I mean, no, it's cool.
I'm kidding,
you guys are cool. And I'm over that.
Yeah,
I'm over that because I've been in these situations a million times.
Right.
In a room full of guys.
Right.
Not bad bitches. And...
Right.
So, yeah, it was really nerve-wracking, and then Speaks was there, and he was really, like, I mean, when Speaks wanted to help me, he made it clear that he wanted to, I don't know, he didn't, at that point, I didn't know that he wanted to be a rapper, and I didn't know that he wanted the spotlight, and I didn't really understand that because I'm busy.
Right.
I'm doing film school, I'm doing all this other shit, rap wasn't my main thing.
Yeah.
And so, when everything kind of blew up, it kind of turned into him wanting to prove to everybody that, like, I'm the guy. I'm the guy you sought after. This is me. I'm, like, creator.
Yeah.
And that's where we just started clashing, and things didn't make sense to him. And money, you don't make money on a song till like, 2 years after it comes
out.
Right. So we really clashed on that. And, and then everything just fell apart.
So what falls apart? You guys start having creative differences.
Not creative differences.
No.
Differences.
Just differences.
It was not creative.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as creative, at one point, we were all dialed in.
Yeah.
But we were all
separated. Yeah.
Mikey was in New York. Speaks was in L.A. I was in the Bay. So everything was easier that way. But once we all got in a room and you got label people and money and everything.
And the pressure is on,
the lights,
too.
Pressure. And I have no idea what's I'm riddled with anxiety at this point. My anxiety is peaked. And so everything just went to shit.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
So what starts happening when it goes to shit? Like, is interpersonal relationships start to fall apart?
Yeah. We fell apart.
Yeah.
Music wasn't being made, and I just went on tour.
Yeah.
And I was touring the songs that I had, my mixtape stuff, and that lasted a while. I mean, it lasted like a year until I was like, they were like, okay, you got to make your album.
Right.
Speaks wasn't going to be a part of it.
Right.
He already thought that, like, I screwed him over.
Had he pulled himself out, or the label pushed him out?
He pulled himself out. It got to the point where he, like, lawyered up and everything and thought that we were trying to rob him. And that wasn't even the case. Like, I broke him off money from my personal money to him. And, I mean, I understand where he came from because at that point I had no idea what was going on either. We all probably got robbed.
Yeah, you guys were all kids.
We all got robbed at the end of the day.
Right.
So, I mean, now that things have passed, he's seen the money.
Yeah.
He's got the money that he thought he didn't get. He got it now.
Right.
And that's only because, like, ASCAP, BMI, all that shit, like, takes years.
It all gets worked
out. You know
out.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It just takes a while for royalties to start really pouring
But no one
in.
Understood
well,
that.
Particularly with a song that fucking big.
And
I mean,
was only one song.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like a lifetime of career. You know,
right.
It was one song. And so.
Right. First off, how are you feeling as you're on tour? You already said that there's anxiety.
I'm blacked out with anxiety.
Really?
I was sick. I lost weight. I was like 80 pounds. I was fucked.
Did you hate performing?
I hated it. Really? I hated everything.
Really?
Everything was just horrible at that time.
The spotlight? You hated the spotlight?
I hated it. Yeah. I said the wrong thing every day.
You did. You said a lot of wrong shit.
Oh my God. All the time.
I remember, I'm not trying to like call you out on shit, but I remember like watching the fuck, because this is after I had met you.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, she really does have it. Full transparency, when I met you, I was like, whoa, like, yeah, it makes sense that she's blowing up. She's like so fucking like just cool.
Yeah.
Like, you have a cool aura about you, you feel me? And so then I was watching you on like the MTV Music Awards or something, and like doing the interviews, and I was like, oh man, like people are gonna have a field day with this tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry,
I did the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah, yeah. What were some of the wrong things that
I just had so much anxiety that I was just trying to get shit over with, or I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going through my mind.
Had you ever performed before the song came out?
No.
And so the first time you performed, you didn't get a rush. You just like hated it?
I hated it.
That's so funny, because most people, I feel like that's their drug. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get on stage and I rock it and I do a good job on stage, but trust me, I'm blacked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's so funny.
But yeah.
So you go on tour for a year, and at this point is the label like, all right, well, we gotta make something.
Let's do an album. I wanted to do an album first off.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to go sit down, let's do an album. So then I started rushing myself. As soon as I had time in the studio, I wrote my whole album myself.
Really?
I rushed it. I only worked with one producer.
Who was the producer?
Free School.
Okay.
Jean Baptiste.
Uh-huh.
And I just sat with them the whole time, because I met a lot of producers and they were the only ones that I actually caught a vibe with.
Right.
And I just feel like shit. Like,
and do you feel like anything had the, I mean, obviously nothing blew up like Gucci Gucci, but did you feel like you were able to hit the same vibe as Gucci Gucci ever? Like,
I was just not even on the same planet I was.
It was just like a magic moment.
I rushed it.
Yeah.
Literally, if I did sit down and say, I'm going to go after producers that I do like, I'm really going to like form a sound with this.
Yeah.
My album could have been a million times better, but I rushed the shit out of it, because all of a sudden there was all these female rappers coming out left and right, and they're like, I'm coming out with an album next week, I'm coming out with an album next month.
That's really how it was. I remember at the time being like, oh, there's no female rappers, and then all of a sudden it was like everyone was looking for the answer to Krayshawn.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was really hard, and I was like, I need to come out with something ASAP, because it's already been a year since Gucci Gucci came out. Everyone's waiting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I need to shit this out as quick as I can.
Yeah. How long do you think it took you when you actually sat down and did it? Like a week, 2 weeks? What do you mean?
I mean, like 3 months.
3 months? Yeah, that's still quick as shit.
It really takes quick me, to
takes
make
me
a
three
whole
years.
Entire
takes
album.
Me 3 years. Yeah.
Especially when you're literally writing the whole thing yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know.
How do you feel? How did you feel about, like, were you happy while you're in the studio, or just felt still anxiety?
I was on a lot of syrup.
Oh, really?
I was like, so in started, a syrup phase.
Yeah. So you're just leaned out the whole time.
Yeah.
So like damn near blacked out the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know, when you have it done, what's the reaction from the label?
I mean, that's when everything just started switching. Like, we want you to dance. We want you to have long hair. We want you to be cute. And it's kind of like my songs just kind of formed that way, because I was rushing them.
Yeah.
So I was keeping it very simple. You know what I'm saying? And so they were just like, let's work this pop angle. The producers that I was working with were working with like Britney Spears and shit like that. So that sound. And that, I mean, I don't even listen to the type of music that I made in my spare time.
Yeah.
I wish I could have recreated the music that I do listen to.
Yeah.
But,
well, because I think that was the magic behind Gucci Gucci, was that like you guys, all of you guys' influences were like,
yeah, it was there.
It was apparent. Like, it's like, oh, she's like a fucking turfed out rapper. Like, you know what I mean?
And I mean, we were making music for us.
And it was like a futuristic beat.
And now
that was
making
still
music for everyone.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
I just did it the best way I think I could do it.
Yeah.
Is to make music that everyone can listen to.
Right.
But I guess, I don't know.
So they hear and they start telling you about your appearance, and they're like, we want you to grow your hair out, we want you to dance, let's do this pop angle. And how are you feeling about it? You're like,
I'm
this isn't
shutting
me.
Everything
like,
down.
This ain't
I'm
me.
Shutting everything down.
Yeah.
There, you know, then you start doing the radio shit, and I was going on all these shows, Arizona, North Dakota, doing all these free radio shows that were exhausting me, and I hated it, so I started shutting those things down. I was just slowly shutting everything everything down the label wanted.
And then at this time, the buzz is probably starting to go away a little bit too.
Well, not really, because my album was coming out. So it went from like organic buzz with Gucci Gucci. Yeah. My buzz was organic.
To like the marketing buzz.
To the marketing buzz. So I was still buzzing.
Yeah.
And I was doing my covers, my GQ spreads, my Complex covers and all that.
Were you still online? Did you pay attention to like, did you like ever feel backlash? Did you take things to heart? Yeah. Were you very like empathetic to these things of like?
Well, there's like, you know, that comedian Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he like died of like cancer or something. Yeah. He used to say that like his haters gave him cancer.
Yeah.
And I used to convince myself that I was going to die from cancer.
Just from all the negative
energy. Yeah. So I started shutting myself out of it and pulling back from it. And that's when I stopped doing shit. Yeah. I was just like, I'm pulling back from this. Like, this is too intense for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing you at parties during that time, but you would always wear like a face mask or something.
Yeah.
Like,
insane.
You put a bandana over your face or wear like some kind of weird shit. And I'd be like, who is this person? They're like, oh my God, it's Krayshawn. And I'd be like, ugh.
I was just like, nobody talked to me.
Well, I felt
like,
sad.
I just be normal.
That was the whole thing. Is I was like, man, I fucking feel bad for her. Like, you know what I mean? Because I could tell that you were like hiding out just because you didn't want the attention. You know what I mean?
But I still wanted to like be and enjoy
to be out,
a moment.
Because you were out.
You know?
You were always out here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that sucks.
Yeah.
So when does it become the idea to like, okay, the album's done, we're going to put it out in Hot Topic? Tell me about this.
I think that was a stealthy move by the label to say, hey, like, fuck you for like denying us all this shit. Because like, who does that?
Right.
Who does that? What is Hot Topic?
I never
like,
heard of such a thing.
This is not the like 90s. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
So yeah, they put it out in Hot Topic, and then the day of the album release, Hot Topic doesn't stock them. So like nobody I know personally got a physical copy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It is really weird.
So like people are going out looking for it, but it just doesn't actually exist.
No.
Yeah, yeah. That's
so then the whole like Krayshawn like lowest hip hop sales of all time.
Yeah,
that was like. The crush that was like the
And it was funny because I was like, I've released albums that have sold a lot less than that.
They definitely have, but it was just like a meme. I became a meme.
You really did,
you know?
And that's the whole thing. You know, like when I was emailing you back and forth about trying to do this, I was like, you know, I want to put a fucking human side back to Krayshawn in this interview because, or like, not that this is like some
influential
thing. Well,
you literally have like my whole life story.
Yeah. Well, and so here's my thing is that like. The term Krayshawn became like a meme in and of itself almost, which is terrible because like you're a fucking bright girl, you're a cool person. And it's like, that's fucked up. Like that's gotta be a big blow. And like, did you kind of like feel like going into hiding after that? Or like, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like my creativity was like stifled and it wasn't even till like maybe a couple months ago that it came back.
Yeah.
But like it literally, I was just like so beat down because all these people thought like I was just some girl who was like made up by a label and stuff like that. But then you hear my life story and
that's
like all this stuff goes back to like age 4.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so it definitely like demeaned me and like discredited anything that I've ever done.
Well, cause that's the crazy shit is like, you know, I live in LA and I'm around and I see you around and then here doing the interview even in 2011 and like learning the human side to you. Once that, like, you were, it was like you were a cool internet thing, and then, but then once it goes to just like a cool everywhere thing, like, once fucking soccer mom Jessica knows about you in fucking, you know, Seattle or whatever, like, then all of a sudden everything gets simplified and they go, oh, this is just some girl that, like, the label's made up. And it's shitty to fucking, it's, I don't know, just, it always, like, I always rooted for you because I was like, that's some bullshit the way that they're portraying her, you know? Anyway, that was me being very empathetic. When your creativity was stifled, like, what happens? Do you go into a deep depression or something?
Well, so, like, you know, the album comes out and then I tour the album.
Yeah. How does that go?
It was good.
Yeah. How far?
At that point, I was having fun.
How long did you go?
I was going to Europe.
Oh, nice.
And I had all around America tour. I had a group hug tour with all girls, me, Chippy, Honey Cocaine, and Rai Rai.
Okay.
And at that point, I was having a lot of fun. And then I came back home. It was the end of 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pregnant.
Yeah, how does that happen?
Sex.
You're living... Oh, is that? Oh, okay.
You can get pregnant on your period.
Oh, yeah. We were having a lunch conversation about whether or not you get pregnant on your period. Yeah. So you have a kid. You get pregnant.
Yeah.
You're like living downtown or something, just hanging out? Or what
I was
that?
Living in like what? I don't know, Larchmont or something.
Oh, yeah, Larchmont's a very nice area.
Very nice area.
Oh, I love that place. It's a wonderful place to go catch brunch, let me tell you. Yeah. So you're living in Larchmont, and then the guy who birthed your biggest song
also birthed my baby.
Helps you birth the baby.
So crazy, right?
Yeah,
full circle.
That is crazy. Were you guys already an item back in the day? Like
no,
when the song...
No.
Yeah.
Not even.
How did that come about?
I like put on Tumblr like boyfriend applications, like fill out a boyfriend application plus send dick pic.
Oh shit!
He and he actually sent one, and then I was like reading his profile, and I was like, I mean, I know we do have a lot of in common. And I was like, this picture is nice. So like,
I cannot tell if you're. I'm
100% serious. So funny.
Why didn't I see this application?
You missed out.
No, I'm just kidding. So were you guys dating for a while before you got pregnant, or was it just
He just moved in.
Oh, he just moved in, and then
because we were already friends at that point, so he moved in, and then we started doing it.
Yeah,
and then I got pregnant really quick, maybe like a month or two after he moved in.
That is quick.
Yeah, and then so.
Were you still on the label at this point?
Yeah.
And at this point, when you get pregnant, is the label like, oh, fuck?
Well, they didn't know for a minute. And I was working on this, like, MTV reality show. Like, there was a lot of stuff moving and going on. And then, you know, like, the label found out I was pregnant and they dropped me 2 weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, can you lawyer up on that and be like, oh, this is sexual – like, this is, like, sexual inequality or something, gender inequality?
Well, because at that point, my contract was up, and I had five options.
And they just didn't want to renew?
They didn't renew.
Yeah.
So
– wow. So how was pregnancy?
It was really stressful because of that.
Yeah.
I basically, like, got fired.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do anything.
And so you're like – all of a sudden, it's like, oh, now money is an issue or something, and, like, and what are we going to do?
I mean, I didn't make – any money, like touring or anything, like the deal that I had, all the money that I would have made off of Gucci went back to paying back the money.
You, for the touring and for the studio
for
time.
All that stuff.
Yeah. It was almost like it paid off your advance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like paying back the money that I could have been making still to this day I don't make.
Yeah.
So I lost. I only got one check and that was it. And I survived 4 years off of that.
Wow.
So everything just kind of got really stressful after that.
Yeah.
And my creativity was like zero.
Yeah. I feel like living a life with regrets is stupid. But I mean, if there was a regret, would you wish you would have stayed independent or like, I don't know, like, would it have made more sense to just like do it alone?
I don't know. Like, there's no way I could even regret something because everything was so cosmetically intricate with, like, my whole life.
Right.
There's nothing I could.
Because everything
go
happens
back
to
on.
Get you to where you are right now, kind of. Yeah. You know what I mean? But what now? What's the grand scheme for the future?
So now I'm a mom.
Yeah, you're a mom. How's that?
My son's 18 months.
18 months, so he's probably starting to talk and stuff.
Yeah.
What are his first words?
Kaka.
Really?
Yeah.
A child after my own heart. I love poop.
Yes, he loves poop.
Yeah, that's great. And how is it raising a kid with DJ Two Stacks? You guys have good times?
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
We do a good job.
That's good. Yeah, you seem like you'd be a cool mom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting that, like, you know, you grew up with a punk rock star mom and your kid's going to grow up with a fucking rap star mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's just funny how life is circular. Life is circular that way.
Life is circular.
Yeah, there you go.
Not I love answering. That.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
What's next? The radio show?
Yeah, I have a radio show.
Yeah.
I'm working on a baby clothing line with Ain't Nobody Cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, me and Serp.
Hey, shout out to Serp. Shout out to Alex. Those are the homies.
So me and Serp are working on a baby clothing line that should be like physical by summer for sure.
I have actually $1 million baby shirt, like an idea that would like sell hotcakes. That I could like
talk about it later.
I could talk to you guys about it because I told my other friend that owns a baby clothing store. I actually know a store that you guys could sell it in if you guys actually end up doing it. There's a store. Shout out to the homegirl Celine. She has a store called La La Ling.
Oh, nice.
They sell like hip baby clothes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So anyway, that's tight that you're starting that. Do you see yourself making any music anymore? Are you going to do that?
I like literally talk about making music every day and I never do it.
So you want to?
I think so.
Yeah. Do you think you would stick with the like, I'm the in the rap lane or like, I feel like Chippy and Kitty have moved on to kind of being like EDM singers almost. Yeah?
Well, they're like making music that they like listen to.
Yeah. What do you listen to?
Like Jersey Club.
Yeah.
Juke.
Uh-huh.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. I don't fucking know what the fuck I'm just trying to make some money.
Yeah.
Right now, that's like my main focus is like trying to make money. And I know like music doesn't really make money.
It's hard, dude.
It only solidifies you to make money in other ways.
Well, like, that's the thing is, like, you know, the crazy thing about all of this is, like, you're the fucking 1%. Like everybody wants to be a musician, and you're the person who, like, everyone thinks it kind of, like, worked out for a moment.
Yeah.
And your story still ended like that with the label. And it's like, music is so fucking hard to maintain a career out of. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, if you're good and you stay independent and you have a fan base, then, like, you
kind of can, as long as you keep your fucking, I think as long as you keep your outlets diversified and you have income from more than just, like, just making the music. Because you still have to have a lot of different hustles if you want to be a surviving
musician. You got to be booking them shows. You basically have to tour, like, every day of your life to make money.
And selling hundreds of t-shirts. You have to sell so many shirts and shit. Like, that's, you know.
Because the thing about music is you're paying so many people.
Yeah.
It's not just you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have producers, people who help write, engineers, people who are pressing the records.
Yeah.
But it's just, like, mass amounts of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Managers, tour managers, PRs.
Exactly.
It's fucking insane.
Yeah, that's the whole thing is, like, I don't know. Like, I put out a record last April, and I think, like, and I put it out independently, and I think as well as it did, I probably could have lived just off that royalty money for about a year. But the fact of the matter is it took two of us to write. So all of a sudden it's like, boom, that check is cut in half.
50.
And it's not enough to pay for two people.
No.
You know what I mean? But, you know, one person could have survived off it comfortably. Sorry, I just had a stroke. But, like, yeah, there's so many people to pay. It's fucking insane.
I'm sweating.
Yeah, me too. I'm ready to.
I have breast sweat. I'm ready to wrap it up. I have no breasts.
I have butt sweat, and I have a big ass.
Say that.
Okay. You're very easy to find online, but I always wrap it up by just saying, tell the people where they can find you online.
Well, if you want to listen to our shows live, they're Fridays, 7 p.m.
Friday at 7 p.m. on Dash Radio.
On Dash Radio on The Cut.
On The Cut. That's the channel?
On The Cut. That is the channel.
That's the channel. So you have to download the app, look for the something, and then find the channel.
You can look it up. If you just see, it's just too much. Go to lostinthoughts.com.
There you go. I bet you if they follow you on Twitter,
they'll just see all my shit. Because all I do is spam myself.
At Krayshawn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. KREAYSHAWN. Very easy. I'm sure if you want to find her radio show, you will tweet about it when it's live.
Yeah.
All right. I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Extorting my life story.
You're welcome. This is what I do. No one
writes a book on it. This is my intellectual property.
This is what I do every week. No, yeah, it's already copyrighted. You're good.
Okay.
You definitely, I actually, in the middle of hearing your story, I was going, like, you want to make money? Write a fucking book. Because, like, your story is very much book worthy, and I would definitely read it, even though I've heard it now. So, yeah, thank you guys so much. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can find me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Find my man behind the boards, Ben Shim, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, based with two S's. Follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat. I'm good at this, right? I have a spiel. You can watch all of our YouTube videos at youtube.com/thatskindaneat. And this is our 2-year anniversary show. Hey, thank you. Yeah, we've been going strong for 2 years. Thank you so much to Daddy Kev and Cosmic Zoo Studio, where we record at. Go to the podcast app, download it on your phone, subscribe, look for Kinda Neat and subscribe. And every Wednesday we try to put out an episode, but who the fuck am I kidding? We usually only do one a month now. I'm very sorry about that, but I'm going to get back onto it. What a lazy piece of shit.
Yes.
But anyways, this is a great episode. Mission accomplished.
I can just be like, you ever want to know my whole entire life story from birth?
So good. But I mean, here's the thing.
Click this link.
It was super fucking interesting. You're a great storyteller.
Thank you.
And I wish you nothing but success in the future. Like I said, my name is Lee. This is Krayshawn. And that was Kinda Neat.